chapter number 9, which we won't get quite there yet. We'll read the first verse when we get to it, but look at Daniel chapter number 8. And I do want to mention our Bible study for this week. We are going to sidestep our study in Daniel for a couple of weeks because this Sunday we plan on having some folks get baptized in the morning, and then we will have the Lord's table this next coming Sunday. And so this Wednesday night, I want to encourage you to take a little bit of time to study Acts 1 and 2. Acts 1 and 2, because I want to talk to you about this Wednesday night and next Sunday morning and evening. We'll have a shorter service so we can allow time for our annual meeting Wednesday night. I'd like to get everything done by 8 o'clock rather than the regular time when we get done with our Bible study. So we'll shorten the Bible study a little bit and get our voting taken care of. And again, any questions you have about the annual meeting, feel free to ask. I'll be available after the service to answer any questions. And then we want to talk about the churches and her ordinances, not the churches and her chickens. I'm muted? Cool. I probably sound better that way, don't I? Okay, where is the button that I need to push here? Mute. That's probably it. I need to push it. Now I'm on? It's green, so that works. I'm talking about the churches and her ordinances, not church's chicken. Is that you, Rex? That we don't go to churches anymore. We just go to KFC or something. I'm praying about where to go after Daniel. I've got a number of ideas. I've thought maybe of going, well, one of the places I thought about going, and I don't think I will, is the book of Revelation, because I've been enjoying studying Revelation along with Daniel. To be quite honest with you, in my own personal study of Revelation, I have a hard time going past chapter 5, because chapter 1 talks about the things that are, the things that were, and John meeting with Jesus on Patmos. Oh my. That's enough to get me to come unglued. Even a Baptist can get excited about that. And then chapters 2 and 3, talking about the churches. That tells me there, looking at the churches and the conditions of churches in America right now, that we are at the end times. And I don't have to go any farther than that. But then my heart thrills in chapter number 4 and 5. The scene that we're going to see in heaven. And oh, I love that scene and long to see what John saw in chapters 4 and 5. So I say I have a hard time getting past chapter 5 when I go in the book of Revelation, because that's what I'm looking forward to. Now, the rest of it in the book of Revelation is the revealing of Jesus Christ. And we emphasize that when we study prophecy, we're looking at Jesus, not at all the things happening around us. It's easy to get sidetracked with all the stuff going on around us and lose sight of, and let me tell you what, this world's going to end in a mess. What we see going on over in the Mideast right now, it's a mess. And it's going to be that way everywhere, only multiple times worse. It ain't going to be pretty. And we're not going to have somebody, here comes Zorro. He's going to conquer the day. He's going to kill all the bad guys. Captain America, right? Truth, justice, and the American way. We're going to trust Satan, everything out here at the end. Now, this world is dying and on its way to hell. The God of this world is taking charge. And he that now letteth, the Holy Spirit that's holding him back, he will let him loose. He will turn him loose. And literally all hell will break forth at that time. But I'm glad I'm a child of God. Looking forward to seeing him. Looking forward to spending eternity with him. And my heart goes out to those that reject him. Got a text from Ken this evening, and this said that, I won't read the text, said basically my heart is heavy tonight because he's driving a taxi and everybody he's given a ride to today is shuttling them from one bar to another, worshiping the God of alcohol. And I haven't said a lot about this. I read about it in a number of different commentaries. J. Vernon McGee hits this pretty hard, but every one of the nations that you study, the demise of that nation, every one of them, the Babylonian Empire, the Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and now the Roman Empire, their greatest downfall has been alcoholic drink. Every one of them, that has been a major contributor to the demise and the destruction. And it is to any culture. And we live in a drunken world today. I just want to mention a couple of things tonight. And I guess I failed to put a title of the message tonight, but we'll get to it when we get the text, I guess. I got a couple of points, and you can use one of them for the title. But you think about this when we talk about Bible prophecy. And my mind's been kind of captivated by this when I study the book of Daniel. Especially in chapter 9, this becomes very obvious, but you see it start in chapter number 8. I've got thinking along this line, what is our response and reaction to prophecies that we see being fulfilled? The things that Daniel saw that he prophesied about, the fall of one empire and the rise of another empire, and then that one of them took place during his lifetime, the other one after his lifetime. What is our response? What do we think? How does it affect us when we see Bible prophecy being fulfilled around us? I'm afraid that many folks just kind of ignore the obvious. We forget that there is a God in heaven. We forget that there is someone working behind the scenes that we really don't quite understand. Sometimes it's met with carnality and apathy. And there again, the book of Revelation and the set message of the seven churches. We are certainly living in the Laodicean era. The carnality, the apathy, the drunkenness, and the indifference even of God's people. I love my life verse that I chose years ago in 1 John chapter number 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then the last verse, verse number 3 says, and every man that hath this hope in him, the hope of salvation, the hope of the second coming, purifieth himself, even as Christ is pure. In other words, if we're truly looking for the second coming of Christ, if we're truly walking with him, we're going to be seeking to live like Jesus Christ. Live a life of love, of purity, of joy and contentment and trusting and have faith in him. Some men respond, or some people respond to our reaction to seeing prophecy fulfilled as we worry. We kind of overthink things. Kind of think that we got things figured out. Or sometimes we get this feeling of hopelessness or indifference. Well, that's just the way the world's going to go. There's nothing we can do. That's why I love Josiah and the revival that God sent through Josiah, which was he was the one that was ruling in Jerusalem when Daniel was born. If you study the timeline out, one of the greatest revivals Israel had was under King Josiah after God's judgment had already been pronounced. God's judgment had already begun to fall, and Josiah found a book, and he got into the book. We have no reason to be hopeless or indifferent, but that's just something that tends to overwhelm us sometimes. Or we think that we can understand the mysteries of God. We think that we can understand the secret things of God that are known only to him. And I don't know how many times I've read things or heard people, oh, we got this all figured out. You know, we're familiar with the verse where Jesus said, no man knows the time or the hour. We also realize from prophecy that no one knows exactly how it's going to work out either. We just know that it's going to work out. We don't have to figure all that out. That's up to God. And if we think we got it figured out, I can guarantee you one thing. We're wrong. All right. We don't have the secret inroad. We haven't got it all figured out. And some folks, no matter what happens, yeah, I told you that was going to happen, whatever. Some folks want to plan and prepare. I'm ready for this to happen. You can't get ready for what God's going to do. There's no preparing for the judgment that's going to come. You can build yourself a shelter house. You can get all the food you want to. I tell you what, somebody said, well, what are you going to do when all this stuff happens? You got all this food here. Folks are going to be coming to get the food. You know what we're going to do? We're going to open the doors. Have at it. I'm hoping I'm on the first wave out anyways. I don't really care. I'm not going to be shooting my neighbors and protecting my little self and my little family. I would say, man, I'm going to meet Jesus is what I'm doing. And I'm not the least bit concerned about that. And some people plan and prepare and some people, the reality is, there's the true sign of the Laodicean era. We're all concerned about ourselves. How will this going to affect me? How it's going to affect mine? What about my country? What about my family? I'm going out with the first wave. I'm out of here. My country's in heaven. My treasures are in heaven. That's where my family, that's what I'm looking forward to. Daniel chapter number 8. This is just something that I'm going to think of. I want to look at a couple of things from this verse in Daniel chapter number 8, verse number 26 and 27. The last two verses of Daniel chapter number 8, where Daniel's given his great vision. We talked some about it this morning. The overthrow of the Persian Empire, which is Iran today. And they were overthrown as an empire, but they still exist as a nation. In all these empires, they were overthrown as an empire, but they still exist as a nation. In fact, earlier in Daniel chapter 7 says that they're still going to be kicking. They're still going to be alive when the Lord comes back. They'll still be there, but they won't have the influence that they once had when they were a world leader. But Daniel saw what happened to the Medo-Persian Empire. He saw the Grecian Empire and the little horn, the Antichrist that rose up before the first coming of Christ and who was a prototype of the Antichrist that will come at the second before the second coming of Christ. And look at how Daniel responded to this prophecy that God gave him. In verse number 26 says, in the vision of the evening and the morning, which was told is true. No doubt about it. It is true. It will happen just how God says. We don't understand how it's going to happen, but it is going to happen. When it's over with, we're going to look back and say, that's what God described. We couldn't see it. We see through a glass darkly now, but one day we're going to see it. I know that this is exactly what God said would happen. Wherefore shut thou up the vision? The angel spoke to Daniel and said, close the book. Close the vision. For it shall be for many days. You close the book, you close the vision, you're not going to see it for a long time. By the way, when we get to the book of Revelation, God says, John, I want you to open it up. This is when we're going to see it. This is what we're going to see. But Daniel's told, close it up. And then in verse number 27, look at this. And I, Daniel, fainted and was sick certain days. Afterward, I rose up and did the king's business. And I was astonished at the vision, but none understood it. Father, bless as we look into your word. Oh, Lord, that we would walk with you as Daniel walked with you. And Lord, that we would have the response to your word as Daniel responded. And Lord, that it would not be about us, about our life, about our family, about our homeland, our homes, and all that we possess, but it's all about you. And Lord, I pray that you would bless these few thoughts tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Daniel's response to prophecy, first of all, I want you to consider Daniel's response to prophecy. His response was, I don't understand it. I cannot even begin to comprehend what God is telling me. You know the amazing thing about the Bible prophets? God gave them these great prophecies that they themselves didn't understand. They didn't know what they were writing. They were just writing what God told them to write. Now, some things God showed him more clear than others, but Daniel was told, hey, you write this down, but close the book because you're not going to understand it. what he's talking about in chapter number 8 really was not clearly revealed for hundreds of years after the death of Daniel. And Daniel's response was, I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. And it will be made clear when it's necessary for people to understand it. I don't need to understand that. I just trust in God. It's foolish to speculate and impossible to predict how exactly it's going to happen. Now, one of the most interesting statements in all of the book of Daniel is earlier in chapter number 8, when Daniel named in verse number 20, the ram which thou sawest having two horns is the king of Medo-Persia. Now, that might have been predictable because Daniel could see and the news would have pointed out, well, Medo-Persia is raising up. They might be a threat to us. But still, he lived in Babylon where it would be impossible for anybody to get in. But then he talked about in verse number 21, and the rough goat is the king of Grecia. Grecia? Who's that? What are they? How could that possibly happen? Well, that's hundreds of years down the road. Daniel saw it, and Daniel named the country. Daniel named the empire. That's an amazing thing. And God did give him that much, but it's foolish to predict. And I look at the second coming of Christ and the things that I see in the book of Revelation and things that I've watched in my lifetime as a Christian, and the things that I see in Christianity, I don't have to look outside our churches. I don't have to look outside of my own life to see that we're close to the end times. I don't have to look beyond what we are. We don't have to look at the world to see all that. Just look at ourselves and what we are as believers. The ecumenical religion of the world, what's that mean? That's a big $5 word. That's all the religions coming together. Every time I turn on the news, the world talks about how wonderful that is, that the Muslims and the Catholics and the Protestants, they never mention the Baptists. They think that we're Protestants. Silly them. Everybody's coming together. We're all getting united. We all worship the same God. I've heard that all my life, but I've never heard it as much. And I've never heard it in my lifetime received as much by supposedly Bible-believing Christians as it is today. Well, that's a wonderful thing. Those folks are all saved. We're all going to heaven. No, we're not. Not if we're trusting in baptism. Not if we're trusting in our works. Not if we're trusting in the Pope or the church or whatever to get us to heaven. Only Jesus can get us there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I've never seen in my life, and it just seems like it's growing every year. We're getting closer to that one world church that the Antichrist, the person in the place of Christ, when he's going to step up, man, he's already got a ready-made church. All he's got to do is proclaim himself to be God. Okay, Papa, we'll worship you. And it doesn't matter what religion you are. They're all kind of, the world thinks that's a wonderful thing, but in God's eyes, that's the end time religion. And that is the final destruction. And the book of Revelation defines their destruction. And then I look around and you think of the Antichrist and who he is or what he is. I've heard all kinds of speculations all my life, and they read old books and they figure out who he is, and world leaders or world empire conquerors or military people or religious leaders or political leaders. I've never seen anybody that fits every category of the Antichrist, that knows everything, that sees everything, that hears everything, that can broadcast something in the whole world. I mean, not just America, not just those that are within range of our TV station or our radio station, the entire world will hear everything he has to say, and the entire world will be deceived by him all at one time. Nothing in all of history has ever fit that category like artificial intelligence, like the internet, like social media, and all the things that go along with that. And I tell you, we are closer than we really. And I don't know if that's it, but I do know that nothing has ever come close to fulfilling everything that the Bible says about the Antichrist outside of the internet world. That's just. But how do we respond to that? What's our response to that? Now, some folks I don't understand it. And to be quite honest with you, I don't understand any of that stuff. I don't understand the internet stuff. I do know this. I kind of like it. my wife and I have been having fun with this. All right, we got a new medicine cabinet in our bathroom a two or three years ago. I don't know, lose track of time. I say 2 years ago. It's probably been 5 years ago. But that's just the way it is with old people. And one of the latchets broke on the cabinet. I didn't like the design to begin with because you push it down here and then there's a latch up at the top and there's a spring in the sprocket, whatever it's called, broke. And I thought, well, I'll just take that off and go to where I bought it and get a replacement. So I brought it in there and I said, well, the little bracket that holds the door shut broke. And they said, what is it? I said, I'm glad that I brought this in because this is what it is right here. And they looked at it and said, I don't know what that is. I don't know where that is. By the way, I looked all through the store, spent an hour at the store looking through it, looking through all their hardware department. They didn't have anything. They had some things I think I could rig up to make them work. They didn't have it. And they said, well, that doesn't work. And they said, well, I don't know where you can get that. We don't sell it here. Let me take you back to our hardware department and look at it. I said, ma'am, I already looked at it over there twice. I went through the whole thing twice. So they take me back there and go through the, I already looked there. It's not there. It's not. You can't get there from here. It's not possible. It just isn't made. Then I got home and I said, you know what? Let's look on Amazon, the mark of the beast. We can find everything on Amazon. And they said, well, we can't find it. It's going to be a special order. You're going to have to contact the manufacturer. They gave me the web name, site of the manufacturer. They didn't know what I was talking about. They didn't know what it was called. They said, well, it's a... I said, it's a doomahickey. It's a spring with a sprocket broken. I said, well, we can't find that. We don't try to get a hold of the manufacturer. I thought, I'm going to look online. You know what I found? I found six of them for $10. So I got it for the next time it breaks. So if you need a little spring sprocket that's broken, I got one for you, all right? I kind of like that Antichrist Amazon stuff. It's kind of convenient right now, isn't it? And I'm not the least, oh, you took the mark of the beast. Yeah, I buy stuff on Amazon. I buy stuff on Facebook Marketplace even. And I haven't got murdered yet. But, of course, I send Jacob to go pick it up just in case. But anyway, I just say that what a crazy world we live in today. Our response to problem, well, I don't understand all of it. Or I notice this, Daniel. Notice again in verse number 27, I fainted and was sick certain days. I fainted and was sick. You heard somebody say, well, it makes me sick to my stomach. I think Ken's text said, I'm really disturbed by this. I'm really bothered by this. I'm exhausted. Now, we may get exhausted. We don't understand what it is to be physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted, but spiritually exhausted, to the point you feel like, I can't go on anymore. That's the idea of when you can't get up in the morning because you're physically unable to. You're emotionally unable to get your body to cooperate and move. You're sick emotionally, or you're sick spiritually, where you're so grieved. You've lost your appetite. You've lost your desire. You've lost everything because your spirit is so grieved. And Daniel said he's to that point. This is his response to the prophecy that he saw in chapter number 8. And then he was astonished. Look again in verse number 27. After I rose up, when I finally got up, after certain days, I don't wonder how long, how many days it was, where he was so physically, emotionally, and spiritually broken. And finally, after certain days, he rose up, did the king's business, and I was astonished at the vision. I was overcome. I was dumbstruck. I was speechless. I was stupefied. Is that a word? I was amazed. I couldn't believe what I was seeing. It's the only thing I could think about. But then he said he did do the, went about the king's business. And he did the king's business. He had a job to do outside of writing scripture. He had a job to do outside of being a prophet. He had to go to his day job. He had to go do the king's business, whatever that business was. And I'm sure it was important at the time, but God doesn't even tell us what it is. You know, the things that we do for employment seem so important, and they are important. And what's the most important thing is have a good testimony at our job, whatever our job is. But we need to do the best we can at our job. We need to just keep going on. Even though our heart is broken and our heart is stirred and our emotions are broken, he went about the king's business. He went about and did what he needed to do. He went about and kept his appointments, kept his responsibilities going. Even working with a wicked king, I think we can honestly say that, that the kings that Daniel worked under were wicked kings. They weren't somebody that probably would you say, well, I have an honorable job. It's kind of like working with John Deere. Not really honorable. Not an honorable job. No. Or working with somebody who paints things green and gets in trouble from John Deere, right? He went about doing what he needed to do. That was his response to prophecy. What is the reaction when he saw the prophecies fulfilled? When he saw things starting to take place? I want you to jump to the first couple of verses in chapter number 9. Now, this is and I never really paid close attention to the timing of these visions that Daniel got in the last half of Daniel until when we're going through it in this study. In verse number 9, and verse number 1 of chapter 9, it says, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus. Remember who Darius was? He was the first king of what? Remember? Darius was a Mede. The Medes and the Persians. When they took over Babylon, Darius was the king. Darius was the king that had Daniel thrown in the lion's den. When you study his life, he was probably only reigning in Babylon for about a year. And in that time, he had Daniel thrown in the lion's den. And Daniel served under this king. And the timing here is important because Daniel saw with Darius the destruction of the first empire that he prophesied about. And now he saw that empire fall and the second empire, the Medes and the Persians, rise up. Daniel was reacting now to not only prophecy that was given, but prophecy being fulfilled in front of his eyes. When we see prophecies being fulfilled, it ought to affect us the way it affected Daniel. Now, that's a whole message I want to give next week that comes from chapter number 9. I just want to mention a couple of things. That one of the first things he did is dug into Scripture like never before. He saw, oh, that's how it's going to happen. He prophesied that it was going to happen, that somebody's going to come sweeping into Babylon and destroy this empire and take it over. But that's impossible. That can't happen. But then he saw with his own eyes it happen. And the first thing he did is went home and got his Bible out and spent the night studying the Bible. On verse number 2, it says, in the first year of the reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. He started digging in the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah prophesies a lot of the things that Daniel saw. He corresponds with what Daniel said. And he said, I got to understand this. I got to dig into the word of God. I've got to understand what God is doing, what he's doing in my life, what he's doing in the world. Daniel dug into the scriptures like never before. And secondly, Daniel prayed like he had never prayed before. You remember it was when Darius was the king that Daniel got thrown into lion's den for what crime? For praying. He prayed. And he prayed like and I believe Daniel prayed his entire life, but I don't believe he ever prayed as hard as he did when he saw the prophecies that he had given, that God had used him to pen, to write down. Now he's seeing those prophecies being fulfilled, and the first thing he did is dug into the book. And then he went on his face before God, and he prayed, I believe, like he never prayed before. Now I want to give you an assignment for next week, all right? We finished this week the book of Daniel. It's going to be 2 weeks before we get back to Daniel, so you got 2 weeks to do this. I want you to spend some time considering and jotting some things down and looking at the things that Daniel prayed and how he prayed and compare that to our prayers today. What I'm thinking here is the thought that keeps coming to my mind, well, this is how Daniel responded when he was given the prophecy. When he saw the prophecy being fulfilled in front of him, what did he do? and then ask myself the question, I see the prophecies in the Bible. I see things falling into place like never before. I see the Antichrist rising up. I see the world's false religions, a false prophet rising up and taking control and taking power of things in our world today. And it seems that there's nothing that we can do to slow it down or stop it. What is our reaction to it? And what was Daniel's reaction to it? If we respond the way Daniel did and see how he prayed, what he prayed for and how he prayed, and how he dug into the scriptures to find answers so he could understand and seek the God of heaven. And then when he dug into the Word of God, God gave him better and clearer visions of what's happening. So he had an understanding that he never had before. And Daniel's reaction to the prophecies and their fulfillment, when the second beast arrived, what did he do? He dug into the scriptures. He prayed. And I would encourage you to look at how Daniel dug in the scriptures and look at how we dig in the scriptures. You know, I find a common thread amongst Christians and working with young Christians or old Christians. It's kind of the same across the board, just different levels, to get people to see the value of studying, memorizing, meditating on the Word of God. Well, I can't do that. I'm not a good reader. I'm not good at memorizing. I'm still convinced that the only way you can walk with God is getting into the book and digging into the book. Study to show thyself. What's the verse say? Approved unto God. A workman that needeth not be ashamed. Rightly dividing. Putting it together as a puzzle, seeing how God instructs and seeing this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. And I've used the excuse myself, and I realize I can't walk with God without reading and studying and memorizing Scripture. And I am the worst person at reading and studying and memorizing. But God told me, you can do it. You just might have to work harder than other people, but you cannot walk with God if you're not doing that. Don't let the devil give you that excuse that you can't do that. And Daniel gave himself. I believe Daniel was a good student. It says so in chapter number 1, that he was a very studious, a good, industrious and studious person. But he knew the value of digging in to the Word of God. And if we can't love God without loving His Word. We can't serve God without digging into His Word. Now, we think we can do things, but we're really doing it in the flesh instead of the Spirit. And we can't pray unless we're really digging into the Word of God and letting God show us and teach us how to pray. And I would encourage you to look at how Daniel prayed for his nation. Look at how he prayed for his people. Look at how he talked to. And then I mentioned it this morning and I mentioned it Wednesday night. Gabriel showed up to Daniel in chapter number 8 and in chapter number 9. There's only two other people that Gabriel ever spoke to, possibly three, and that is Zacharias, the father of John the Baptist, and Mary, the virgin mother of Jesus, and possibly Joseph. It says the angel of the Lord, and a lot of people assume that's talking about Gabriel too, but I'm not sure if it is. But Gabriel showed up twice to Daniel. The only person he showed up twice to. And one of them was when he was giving the prophecy in chapter number 8. And then one was when Daniel was praying. Wouldn't you like Gabriel to show up in your prayer time? Wouldn't you like God to show up in your prayer time? I mean, His presence to be there and learn to pray. Like, you know, I challenge you to spend time. And we're going to look at it next time I get a chance to preach on Sunday night. And we're in chapter number 9, the prayer of Daniel and how we prayed. I encourage you to do some study on your own on that and compare it to our prayer life and how we pray, what we pray for, how we talk to God. What is our spirit and our attitude when we talk to God? Well, that's as far as I'm going to go tonight. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.